Hello, my friends. This is Paul Drockton, and welcome to True Religion Radio, where we get to the truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ using the scriptures. So understand that Jesus Christ and Luke gave the parable of the servant who basically went out and got his master's horses and fed him, and then he went back in the house and he said, okay, I want something to eat. And Jesus Christ pointed out that the servant was basically just doing his job. And then he explained that the master is going to tell that servant, first I eat, and then you eat. And then he explained that all of us, every single one of us, are unprofitable servants. In other words, no matter what we do, we're still in debt. We're still unprofitable. We're never, ever, ever, ever going to place God in our debt. And I want you to consider this because it's a critical point when it comes to not just your salvation, but returning to the kingdom of God. So if you accept the fact that you too are an unprofitable servant, which is the truth, I know I am, then you draw the conclusion that you're saved by grace, not by any work that you can do or works that you can do. And understand, I'm not discounting works, because works are a sign of your faith. What I'm trying to explain to you is no matter what you do, you get paid like a servant. Right away, the Lord blesses you. You know that happy feeling you feel inside when you do something good? Well, yeah, that's you getting paid. In addition to that, the Lord blesses you. And those blessings can be friendship. They can be family. They can be neighbors. They can be material things. Long story short is the Lord compensates you as a servant. Now, understand that until you prove yourself to be a worthy servant, then you can never advance to the next level, which is to become a son of God. And in order to become a son of God, we have to move beyond this concept of, I do this, and God pays me. Because if that's how you think, then you're a servant. And that's how you basically will be rewarded. And when you leave this life, because you pretty much have gotten paid, then there isn't going to be much of a reward for you in the next life. And in the end, this is really what it comes down to. See, we need to understand the atonement of Jesus Christ. See, Jesus Christ died not just for our sins, but also so that we too could be found clean at that last day. In other words, none of us is going to pay the full price for our sins. We can't. Otherwise, we would literally be damned forever. And we know that liars, whoremongers, murderers will be cast down to hell, but there's still redemption for them after they've paid the price that Jesus Christ mandates. Then they too will be redeemed ultimately and receive the lowest kingdom, also known as the celestial kingdom. Now, for those of us that want to progress beyond that, we have to pay the price. Remember, Jesus Christ said, unto what shall I liken the kingdom of heaven? Behold, it is likened unto a pearl of great price, which when a man found, he went and sold all that he had so that he could purchase it. In other words, if we truly want to become sons of God, then you got to pay the price. You got to put everything on the altar. You have to literally consecrate everything you are to him. Not to an organization, not to a minister, not to a man, but to him directly, to Jesus Christ. It's a simple acknowledgement that everything you have belongs to him, and that you won't do anything with his stuff unless you ask him first if it's okay. And that means everything. So you want to help somebody out? Make sure it's helping them. Pray and ask the Lord. Say, look, if I do this, is this in harmony with your will? Sometimes people are going through a humbling process. Sometimes they're basically going through trials and tribulations so that they can learn how to rely on God. And you don't want to interfere with that process. If you do, then you become an obstacle, and all obstacles eventually get pushed out of the way, regardless of what the price is. And I've had those experiences enough in my life to know I don't want to mess with God's plan for other individuals. I don't want to get in the way of their humility or humiliation. I don't want to interfere with their education. So you get to the point in your life where everything you are and everything you have has to belong to him. You have to acknowledge that. You're just acknowledging a very simple truth. He does own everything. This is all his. He created it. In the beginning was the Word, And the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and through him all things were made. This, the Apostle John explains, chapter 1 of John, in order to define who Jesus Christ really is. And literally what he's trying to tell people is in the beginning. I mean, literally, the beginning. From the beginning, Jesus Christ started out as pure intelligence. He was the mind. That's what logos means. That's the translation for word in Greek. It's logos. In other words, Jesus Christ was the mind. He was the intelligence, pure intelligence. And interestingly enough, scientists are now confessing, admitting that even the earth has its own intelligence. And it's just a simple acknowledgement of truth. Everything God creates, he infuses with intelligence. That is creation. That creation, instead of thinking of making something out of nothing, think about organizing something so that you've got intelligence mixed with matter. That's creation. God basically takes matter, infuses it with intelligence, gives it the power to operate in its own sphere, gives it its agency, and then basically influences it for good. So think of God as the greatest light, the greatest intelligence, filling the universe with light. And all things that he creates will ultimately obey his will because it's the right thing. It's nothing to argue about. Jesus Christ is the right thing. He made all the right choices. He's the perfect example. And understand that his father basically went through the same experience of his own mortality, of his own resurrection, of his own existence as pure intelligence. This is a process that's eternal. It doesn't begin with us and it doesn't end with us. As soon as we're done with our mortal probation, then we'll move on. And guess what? There's other intelligences that have to be created. They have to be organized with matter. They have to be created spiritually, and then they can be created temporally, just like us. So this is a process that's been in force since the beginning, whenever that was, if there ever was one. I don't know if there can be a beginning because there's no end. And it says God has no beginning or end, so he always was. But in the end, acknowledging that what you are and what you have belongs to him, my friends, I'm telling you, it's the key to happiness. Because then he becomes a partner in your life and he can help you so that you can make the right decisions. Now, this is going to require effort on your part as well. If you truly believe that what you are and what you have belongs to him, then you're not going to abuse it. You're going to obey his commandments. You're not going to do things that are destructive of your body or of his creation. And you're going to find that as you love his creation is going to love you. And it's amazing. I mean, there's some great examples. Let me tell you about St. Francis of Assisi. St. Francis basically left everything to follow the Lord. And he established the Franciscan order. And St. Francis basically had a wealthy dad who wanted him to take over the family business and tried to force him to do it, tried to coerce him, even sued him. In court, St. Francis took off his clothes, laid them on the floor, and said to him, "This is all I have that you have given to me. And everything else you have given to me, I no longer want, nor do I need it. I'm giving it back to you." And he walked out of the court naked, leaving everybody aghast. And from that moment on, he took a vow of poverty. And if he received a cloak, he took the old one and he gave it to somebody that was poor. And the Franciscans, basically throughout their history, have always done what they could to help the poor. See, in the end, St. Francis understood the principle that everything belongs to God. And according to history, even the very nature honored him. He couldn't go anywhere without various birds flying overhead, landing on him, wanting to be around him because his light was that great. My friends, that could be you. That could be you, and that could be me. We can literally get to the point in our lives where our light is so great that the creation recognizes God through us and listens to us. So if your faith was as great as a mustard seed, you could say unto this mountain, "Be thou cast in the sea," and it would be done. This is what the Savior was talking about. Now, I'm not telling you you got to be like St. Francis. No, you have to do what the Lord wants you to do, whatever that is. And it's up to you to find out. This is Paul Drockton. Again, I am nothing without God. God bless. Have a great day.